In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you musical? Do you have children or grandchildren that play an instrument? There's a story about a woman who lived in New York City who had a son that she thought was a great violinist. She thought her son sounded just like that famous violinist, Yitzhak Perlman. The woman followed the conductor of the New York Philharmonic Symphony. She practically stalked him, constantly coming up to him and begging him to listen to this recording that she had. Finally, he gave in to her and listened to the recording. It was the most beautiful violin music he had ever heard. And he said to her, "Is this your son?" And she said, "No, that's Yitzhak Perlman. But my son, he sounds just like that." It's said that imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. We all want to imitate the successful people in our field. We all want to be like the great ones. I remember as a child playing sandlot baseball, this being Baltimore in the 1960s, we would mimic Brooks Robinson's batting stance and say, "Look, I'm Brooks Robinson," or we would try to copy Jim Palmer's windup and say, "Look, I'm Jim Palmer." I'm sure people here did similar things with Mickey Mantle and Mel Stottlemyre. But impersonate them as we might, we could never reach their superstar level. It takes more than copying someone else's style to achieve what they achieve. The gifted truly are gifted with abilities and talents that few of us possess. Unless we could be transformed in some supernatural kind of way, we will never be a Mantle or a Stottlemyre, no matter how we might try to imitate them. What about Jesus? Should we imitate Jesus? I was surprised when I read somewhere that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to imitate Christ. Imitating Christ seems like that would be a very good thing, right? I checked it out, and it's true. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to imitate Christ. Paul tells us to imitate Paul, and John tells us to imitate good, not evil, but we are never instructed in the Holy Scriptures to imitate Jesus. Why not? On our own, we could never come anywhere close to imitating Jesus. Us trying to be like him would probably more look like a sad, bad mockery of the Christ. Seeing how poorly we fail at being like Christ could lead us to despair. We might think, "I can't do this very well at all, so why even bother trying?" Or we human beings, so good at self-deception, might think, "Yeah, all by myself, I can be just like Jesus. I'm perfect just the way I am." And that would lead us to what is sometimes called in Lutheran circles carnal security, meaning that we are secure and satisfied that our own actions and good works have wrapped up our salvation, and that is always a wrong attitude. The truth is that God has something far better in mind for us than us trying to imitate Christ. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to continue his ministry here on earth. That is the reason that we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We remember how the Holy Spirit descended on Christ's disciples and still abides among God's people today. This is the Spirit that enables us and empowers us to proclaim the gospel and to serve others in Christ's name, as Jesus said, to do even greater works than he did in his time on earth, as hard as that might be for us to believe. However, Jesus' Holy Spirit can and does take up residence inside us inside of faithful Christian believers, so that, as Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. More than just being a poor imitation of Jesus, the living Christ, by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, can live in us and guide us. He can make us holy as he is holy. The Lutheran theological term for this is sanctification. In past times, this process was known as renovation, and I think I rather like that. When I think of renovation, I think of an old, dilapidated house being gutted and essentially rebuilt. And that is what happens when Jesus and his Spirit come to live inside of us. We are renovated. It's important to point out that sanctification, renovation, is not justification. We are not saved by being sanctified. It's not Christ making us perfect that saves us. We are justified. That is, our sins are pardoned, and we are made at one with God by Jesus' death on the cross. Our faith in Jesus' life-giving sacrifice, the sacrifice he made in place for our sins, is the basis for our confidence in our salvation, our justification. Sanctification always follows justification. We are saved first, and then we are made holy. We are not saved because we're already holy. That would be works righteousness. Faith in Christ, any amount of faith, even just wanting to have faith and forgiveness, even if that faith never produces a single good work, that is still saving faith. That is probably not how you and I would arrange things if it was up to us, but God's ways are not our ways, and we should be very thankful for that. Again, this distinction between justification and sanctification is so important to make, because while we cannot cooperate in our salvation, we do cooperate in our renovation. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It is not that we take the first step toward Christ and then he does the rest. It's not that God gives us that initial little push and then we do the rest. We do not work together in tandem with God for our salvation. Salvation beginning to end is God's work, and we are totally passive. We cannot choose to be saved. We can choose to reject God's forgiveness. Some of us mistakenly think that we have nothing to be forgiven of, making Jesus' crucifixion a waste, but we don't choose to be forgiven. That is in God's hands alone. Given, though, that we are part of the elect, part of the people that God is saving, how are we sanctified? How does God's Holy Spirit come to live in us? How do we become a renovated temple for the Holy Spirit? Sanctification, like all the good things of God, comes to us through the means of grace. Strictly speaking, sanctification is a work of the gospel. God's word of law shows us our sins, but the gospel promises us the power to overcome them. That is the first step in sanctification, the Holy Spirit overcoming, renovating our old sinful natures. Talking about individual sins is out of fashion in the church today in many places. We are quick to condemn corporate sins, the sins of society, the sins of those people and groups that we don't agree with. But it's easy to point our fingers at political parties or the government. But we are slow to talk about personal vices, the lusts of the flesh, the spiritual sloth and unbelief of so many so-called believers. We don't like to point our fingers at those we love, and especially not at ourselves. We are spiritually poorer for it, because the Bible so often speaks to us about Jesus addressing individual sinners in their individual sins. While love and justification are for everyone, they are only appropriated at the individual level. Individuals and their individual sins matter to Jesus. Even after we are justified, we still have that proclivity to sin. We will still want to follow our sinful desires and our bad habits. That is a constant struggle for us, and it is painful. To avoid the pain, some people will convince themselves that their sin really isn't sin at all, but that's a delusion. When we stop fighting sin, spiritual death happens. Other Christians will fear that once they sin, they have irredeemably fallen from grace, and that leads to despair, but that's wrong too. The Christian will fight against sin his or her entire life. We are never quite perfect in this world, but we can improve. We will never be sinless on this side of heaven, but by adhering to the Word of God and making use of the sacraments, progress can be made in our spiritual lives and our evil impulses replaced with the good. This does not occur by us merely reforming our old selves. Christianity is not a self-help program or a moral philosophy. Victory only comes when we are crucified with Christ, when we truly die to sin and self so that Christ can live in us. Jesus didn't come just to tidy up our ethics. He tears down all that we are to the ground and builds us up again, stronger and better. However, the Holy Spirit is very polite. He will not be a guest in a home where he is not wanted. We need to fling open the doors of our hearts to let the Holy Spirit in, to let the help and healing begin. When that happens, then we can do good works. Then we can serve God and our neighbors. It seems to me that we hear in churches a lot of cajoling and urging people to do good works without giving people any reason why they should. Unsanctified people are never going to want to truly do good works unless there's something in it for them. In fact, the Bible says that good works done without faith are like filthy rags before the Lord. But the faithful person, the sanctified person, will want to do good works naturally because the Spirit within him will lead him to do it. Then we don't have to convince people to do what is right or convince them to help others. We just need to show them where the work is, what their options are, and say, go to it. Good works aren't necessary for salvation, but the saved will do good works as naturally as an apple tree produces apples. There may be a misconception about good works that still needs some clarification. Often we think of good works as heroic, dramatic things like missionary work overseas or hands-on disaster relief. They are good things to do if you can do them, but not everyone can. Good works also include the everyday, mundane sort of things that we usually take for granted, such as a lot of the things we talked about last week, being a good parent or spouse, serving the church, helping friends and co-workers in small, quiet ways. These, too, are tokens of our faith and are blessed by God. You don't have to speak in tongues and convert 3,000 people to be a faithful Christian. Just fight the good fight of faith each day and be kind to others. That is what the Spirit is calling us to do. And may God's Holy Spirit bless you on Pentecost Sunday and always. Amen.